Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore personal development, spirituality, and science. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. I'm excited for my guest today because he talks about spirituality and science, which is what I love to talk about as well. So I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation. Apologize in advance for the sniffles. My toddler gifted me his cold this week, so I'm recovering from that. All right, couple quick announcements. As always, head over to the links in the show notes. You are going to find a lot there. You'll find ways to connect with my amazing guest, ways to connect with me on social media, ways to purchase my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. It was endorsed by three people from the film The Secret. That's Michael Beckwith, Bob Doyle, Marcy Shimoff. It was endorsed by Anita Morjani, who wrote Dying to Be Me, John Gray, who wrote Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. So go check it out. You'll also find ways to sponsor the podcast. You'll find free downloads, courses, coaching, all the things. And as always, this podcast is part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. We are doing phenomenal things in the personal development realm. We have events pretty much every month, spearheaded by an amazing woman named Mary, who was Tony Robbins' EVP of production for 18 years. Our biggest event of the year is coming up in a few days. I get to be on stage with Dr. Joe Vitale, also from The Secret, Jim Quick, Joseph McClendon, Gene Simmons, Dean Graziosi. So come join us, get involved. All the podcasts are amazing. We're having so much fun and we're changing lives as we go. What if the one thing keeping you stuck is the way you think? Welcome to Change Your Mind with Chris Ashley, the podcast where science meets spirituality and mindset becomes your most powerful tool for transformation. I'm Chris Ashley, author of Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality, trainer, speaker, and lifelong seeker. For years, I battled trauma, depression, anger, chronic illness, low self-worth, and the weight of old stories. Until I discovered how to rewire my mind, reconnect with my divine nature, and consciously create a new reality from the inside out. This show is here to help you do the same. Each week, we explore the intersection of personal development, spirituality, and science, diving into topics like healing, emotional mastery, entrepreneurship, resilience, and the quantum nature of reality. You'll hear powerful stories, gain practical tools, and real conversations that will help you change your perspective, get unshakable confidence, and live the vision your soul has always known is possible. Whether you're navigating a major life shift, building your dream business, or seeking deep healing and alignment, you're in the right place. So if you're ready to break through, take back your power, and create a life on your terms, this is your moment. Let's break free from the patterns that hold us back, awaken to who we truly are, and rise. Your transformation starts now. All right, so with me today, I have Michael Hirschhorn. So Michael is an inspiring thought leader and author dedicated to helping individuals explore profound questions about life's purpose and the nature of consciousness. Once immersed in the black and white world of accounting for over 30 years, Michael embarked on a transformative journey to uncover the deeper layers of existence, delving into metaphysics, spirituality, and personal growth. His book, Taking a Chance on Life, chronicles his evolution from skepticism to embracing the mysteries of energy, the universe, and human potential. Drawing from years of study and personal experiences, including life-changing moments of resilience and spiritual awakening, Michael offers a grounded yet expansive perspective on topics like energy, frequencies, quantum mechanics, and the interconnectedness of life. All things I write about as well. So I'm so excited to have you here, Michael. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's great to be here.
So you told me you listened to a few of the episodes. So you know that the first question I ask everyone, the only planned question I ever have is, what is your origin story? So I know you hinted at it a little bit in your bio, but what is it that led you on this journey from skeptic to now speaking and lecturing on the topic?
Well, very interesting question. I was an accountant, very linear type job for 29 years, actually 30. Almost completed 30. And the thing is, in that type of setting, you're very used to a black and white type of career, atmosphere, and you even think that way most of the time. That's what I thought my life was all about. And it took an awakening of sorts to get me out of that modality and start thinking from a different perspective. I like to talk about a lens, how we see our experiences through a lens. And it took this awakening to remove the lens and put something else on. That came on the Delaware Memorial Bridge, of all places, where I was coming back from Baltimore, heading towards, actually it was coming back from New Jersey, heading towards Delaware, approaching the Delaware Memorial Bridge. And I see this supercell in the distance. And it looked as if it was a hand kind of waving me on, like with the fingers. Behind that was flashes of lightning, but the lightning wasn't ordinary lightning. It was the ball lightning, which was very strange because it looked almost greenish to it. That was strange enough, but the sky turned pitch black after a few seconds and hail started falling the size of golf balls. And I was stuck halfway up the Dell Memorial Bridge. And cars were behind me, cars were in front of me. Everybody was just basically at a standstill. And I pulled out what I had in my pocket. It was called a Zohar, and started basically praying harder than I've ever prayed in my life, not knowing really what was going on. Rain came down in buckets. You couldn't see in front of you 5 feet. And the wind was whipping up, and I didn't really realize that that was a tornado until I got to the other side of the bridge and I asked the toll booth lady what happened. She said, tornado passed by the other side. So I didn't see it, but it was on, you know, way on the other side of the bridge. So I, you know, the sky, it stopped raining. The sun started coming out, and I literally looked up, knowing that the traffic was about to start any second, and asked, okay, what was that all about? As if this was on cue, like I was in a movie reading from a script. This truck, semi-tractor trailer comes on the other side of the highway with the words on it, you have just seen the future of your life. That was enough to floor anybody. But I took that to mean that you will experience
a storm.
I mean, a storm, like pain. You know, it's gonna get really, really rough. Not just like a little rough, but rough. But when it's finished, you're gonna come through it okay, and you'll see the light, and everything will be fine. And I've got to tell you, from that point on, things did start to change. Now, the stuff did hit the fan in December of 2018, which basically I left my job and didn't have work because it was so stressful, very, very intense. And at that point, I mean, this incident with the tornado was years earlier, but I had realized, I mean, I didn't really understand the timing on this. And all of a sudden, 29 years, and by the 30th year, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't do anything. And I had left on December 24th of 2018, after 30 years in this job, with no job, because I couldn't function as a person, let alone an employee. I just could not function. Lost sleep. I just couldn't possibly take one more day of this. And at the time, my wife was out of work as well. And we were in big, big trouble. I mean, big trouble. And it's just one thing led to another. I met somebody who was a recruiter at my synagogue. We moved to Baltimore. My wife did find work. Just one thing started happening after another. And it all basically was because we didn't allow our paradigm, that fear paradigm, to lock so deep in that we couldn't move from it. Because after all, I mean, fear can paralyze people. It did paralyze me for a while, and it took me a good 10 months to get out of that. But one thing led to another thing, which led to another thing, which, and on and on. And today, I mean, you're talking only about, 6 years ago, where it was really pretty bad for a while. Say 7 years, and it's like night and day, just the difference between where I was from then and where I am now.
Thank you for sharing that story. You know, there's so many stories out there about how our environment mirrors what's going on within us, right? Even like incredible stories about like people's, like things breaking and exploding in people's houses, like water mains, just like when they fight with their spouse or something. And you know, I definitely believe in signs. So I'm a little unclear, like what was the storm that ended up coming that was foreshadowing?
The storm started with my job, my particular job after that 30th year, literally started getting to the breaking point where I had transitioned through 5 different management changes. And believe it or not, I had very little experience in accounting. I graduated from University of Delaware in psychology. So I had very little experience with accounting. I only took 2 accounting courses, but I was called an accountant, a staff accountant. And that was only because I learned on the job. And back then, 1986, I know I'm dating myself. That's actually when it started. I didn't start Hughes then, but I think it was 1988 or 89 when I actually started the job. You could do things like that. They would take you in. It was, you know, it was a different world. And you learned slowly but surely. But by the 5th management change, they had caught on. And they were like, if this guy's not getting promoted every 10 months or whatever, you know, there's something wrong. If he's not working 15 hours a day, if he's not able to handle all this change easily, something's wrong, and we need to do something about it. And it freaked me out because I'm listening to my controller saying this in the next office. And I had papers all over my office, just buried in I just could not keep up with it. And the pressure was so unbearable. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. The pressure was so unbearable. I literally could not speak. I was shaking from stress.
You know, the universe has this tendency to, when it wants you to move and you're not on the path you're meant to be on, it will make you so uncomfortable where you are. And so you have no choice to move. That's why it's good to push yourself outside of your comfort zone before that happens, right?
That's exactly right. And that's what happened, because inside I knew there was something more. There was something more to this. I had at many different instances I was getting signs, even as a younger man, not as a boy, but I was getting numbers and hits, little hits here and there, they were indicating that there's more to this than meets the eye. And if you're really not happy, and I put this in my book, if you're really not happy doing what you're doing, do what you have a passion for, even if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day, but do what your heart is calling you to do. And I really didn't listen to my own advice.
So you had written the book before this?
No, it took me about 10 years to finish it. I started the book, it took about 10 years. So what I would do is I would put all these pieces of paper into a folder, literally like write down ideas, and just stuck them in a folder. I gathered maybe 350 pages of material and really wasn't sure where it was going to go. But that book eventually did turn out. We ground it down through people. I had help, obviously, with this. Another author actually sat down and helped me, you know, compress that into about 180 pages, 60, something like that. And it took 10 years to go through all this. And, you know, as I was recovering from this stressful event, I kind of finished things off, and I published it, and now it's an ebook, audiobook next month, and printed version. So it's really the book goes into detail about the journey, why I had to quote unquote go through what I did, because as you said, sometimes you get a little tap on the wrist. You don't pay attention. So then the universe kind of shakes you a little bit. And then if you don't pay attention, you kind of get knocked down. And I was literally knocked down. I didn't get knocked out, but I was definitely knocked down. So I made it my business to get up. And after I got up, slowly things started turning around, but they quickly got quicker. They quickly started picking up steam as I changed my mindset about what's possible and what's not.
So what is it that made you change your mindset?
I did a lot of reading, and a lot of meditating on metaphysics, And I started with guidance.
What made you reach for metaphysical books?
That's what I was drawn to. It was a natural kind of progression. You know, it seems odd and almost ironic that you're going from accounting, which is very literal, you know, very balanced, assets have to equal liability plus owner equity. And you're going from this field to something beyond physical, metaphysical, beyond physical. I was drawn to it for some reason. I picked up all these books, Conversations with God and the Divine Matrix by Greg Braden and Donald Wall, all these different books. I'm like, why am I interested in this stuff? So as I went forward, you know, and I started meeting people, different people that were into this stuff, you know, different psychics and metaphysicians, the people that were into this type of thing. So I developed this kind of attitude of going through life, I believe, with a particular lens, let's say. My lens for the longest time was literal. It was accounting. But when I removed that lens and I put a different lens on, I saw the same thing, but through a different lens, and it was changed through that lens. But the reality really remained neutral. It's just that lens that changed the reality for me. So Wayne Dyer, I love him to death. I met him years ago. He said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And really, all he was referring to was that lens. And most of us are very adamantly opposed to removing our lens and putting a different lens on.
So yeah, absolutely.
When you say that, that's what it makes me think of, is this lens. So I did more and more writing and you know, things would just come to me like 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, I would think of a verse or I would think of song lyrics, you know, and I would just have to write this stuff down. A friend of mine who was a chemist, he worked for the government, very, very intelligent guy. Also started getting into metaphysics. And he said, come, let me help you. And he put together a website with all this stuff, with this, you know, the videos. And so we just created all this stuff. I thought of some meditations. And by the way, meditation, and I mentioned meditation. I used to do it every day. I love meditation. I started with guided. I worked my way into transcendental. But for people who are stressed to the max, or even not so stressed, that are looking for ways to kind of hone in that energy and kind of like, you know, take things down a notch, I strongly recommend that. I mean, it is some powerful stuff. You know, not so much woo-woo anymore. A lot of people really recommend it. And I highly do myself. Not so much, I mean, you don't have to go on my website. There's thousands of them and they're all free. Most of them are, not all of them. But.
So it's funny. Your journey is a lot like mine. In 2002, I had a spiritual awakening and was given a book that totally changed my life and set me on this path. And I've heard a lot of other people say similar things where it's like they become this truth seeker, right? They're insatiable. Like it's like they can't get enough knowledge in them right away. So I guess like what was like the one thing that like totally blew your mind wide open? Was there like any one teaching, any one author, any one principle that like really changed things for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who was it?
The one thing that changed me completely, that changed my way of thinking. And to this day, I recommend to anyone I see that has any doubts whatsoever, is Conversations with God. Neil Donald Walsh, the entire series. Back then, it was on tape, and I listened to the tape in my car as I was commuting to work. And I listened to it, and I'm not fooling around. I listened to that series about 12 to 15 times.
Wow.
And to the point where I could actually quote this stuff. And now I live that those credos. I live through that material. So Neil Donald Walsh just completely changed my life. That was the pivot point. That's what changed it, everything for me.
You know what's fun? I have a 15-month-old, and Neil Donald Walsh made two kids' books based on conversations with God, mm-hmm. Little Soul in the Sun and Little Soul in the Earth, and they are so beautiful. I was literally I read them to my toddler all the time. They're so beautiful.
Yes. I heard of those books, and he did a great job with the series. He has so many different books out, but what started it all was that one book, Conversations with God, and another one called Three Magic Words, which also changed the way I thought about things.
Was that Neil Donald Walsh too?
No, that was somebody else. U.A. Ulysses something. It was a strange name.
Interesting.
I can't remember the author per se, but Three Magic Words was fantastic.
So what was it in Conversations with God that like really just like struck you?
Well, the thing that struck me the most was our relationship that we have with divinity. That you grow up going to catechism or going to Hebrew school or Greek Orthodox school or whatever modality you're in, that you're taught. And you're taught all these things from your teachers, from your parents, from wherever. But that still is a paradigm. You get these paradigms and you develop them over the years. They come into your brain, into your mind per se, not brain, but mind. And they stick. Sometimes they stick like glue. What I learned was that they're still lenses. Nevertheless, whatever you believe them to be, they are nevertheless lenses that you're seeing your reality through. Now, if your parents or your teachers, I'm sure, not to say that your parent, my parents, they might have been bad teachers. They were teachers. Nevertheless, they taught you what they knew, and they probably learned from their parents, and on it went. Was it necessarily true? Was it necessarily the right thing to teach? I don't know. All I know is I used to fear God. And I no longer fear God. They teach you to fear God. Fear God. Fear the Lord. You know.
Right.
I have a relationship with God today that transcends all of that stuff about the fearing and the I'm separate from this and this is separate from that. We have this prayer in Judaism called the Shema, and it talks about the oneness of divinity and the oneness of God. Now, if God is oneness, God can't be, by default, two-ness. There is no two-ness separate from, you know. And I have a story that I'd like your listeners to hear. And Wayne Dyer told this in one of his concerts, what do you call it? One of his talks. He talks about the ocean and how if you had someone take a glass and dip it into the ocean, you know, he asked the question, what do you have here? What do you have in your hand? And people are like, well, it's a glass of ocean water. It's not like ocean water. It is exactly ocean water. And if you put that glass to the side, maybe on the beach, it's weak. It believes itself to be separate than the ocean. And it is at that point. It's weak. It's other than. It's separate than. It believes itself to be different than. It's not the ocean. It's separate. And it goes through its entire existence. If it doesn't get moved, it could sit there for years thinking of itself as separate from. However, if you take that glass and you pour it back